Hello, and welcome to the Independent Oxford podcast in collaboration with Oxford City Council. Discover the stories behind Oxford's businesses and famous landmarks from those who live and work here. Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Independent Oxford podcast. Today I'm talking to Jo Jennings from Holistic Health. So let's jump straight in. Let's find out a bit about yourself and why you set up Holistic Health.
Yeah, I've been practicing as an acupuncturist for getting on 12 years now. I guess I'd always been interested in health and wanting to sort of serve my community in that way, and it sort of took a trip, a gap year basically, in my youth around Southeast Asia, and yeah, just sort of reading some of the literature there around their more holistic approach to life. And then I think eventually that sort of percolated through, and I just, as I'd come back, I kept looking into different health options and sort of naturopathy, but then kept coming back to Chinese medicine as its sort of standalone, I guess, science and philosophy. Yeah, that it had its own diagnostic protocols. It wouldn't just sort of rely on Western protocols. And then from there, you could apply really interesting treatment strategies to help people out.
So you'd always been quite interested in helping people and caring for people, and you were thinking about becoming a doctor, is that right?
Yeah, so I even applied for a few universities and was, I guess, gearing up to look at going into surgery. Whilst I got the grades, I think I hadn't quite shown enough interest shadowing doctors or those kinds of things, and it just didn't go so well at interview. It might have also been that they saw through my ruse of it was just as the top-up, a second round of top-up fees were happening, and I tried to apply then but defer it so I could have the gap year so I wouldn't pay the top-up fees. I think that was a bit obvious, and so I wasn't quite exceptional enough for getting through in that way. But yeah, I think it was a bit of a silver lining in the end. And it's such an interesting area to be a part of. A lot harder as a career path, but yeah, really, really nice to be involved in what I'm doing.
And so when did you decide to set up Holistic Health as a business and kind of think about the community aspect?
I think it was, so when I first came out of uni, I was lucky enough to get some work in rehab centres as an acupuncturist in the golden days when funding was still a thing. And I was there for 4 years, and it was always free at the point of service. And the kinds of people I was working with and the difficulties they were having, it was really tough cases and just people that usually wouldn't be able to sort of reach or access my services, essentially. But then, yeah, after 4 years, the funding did get cut. And so it took me about a year of sort of really going through my mind about how I could, help these people again. But it had to be in a way that, sort of over that year, I'd done different projects. I linked up with Mind for a while, but it was always going to be either funding from an external source, having a free room, or me doing much reduced rates. So actually, in sort of long-term sustainability of those kinds of projects are always a bit fraught. And multi-beds had always existed. Actually, I'd helped set them up in Oxford sort of years before, but they tended to be just sort of two people an hour, and so it would still be starting at about £25-35 for an initial session. So sometimes double that, because it can be really useful having a bit more time first time round to just spend a bit more time to get to know the patient and have a bit more time to go into depth with the diagnosis and consultation. The way I've sort of circumvented that essentially is just using some really simple technology to have a really in-depth intake form, which means that most of the chatting is sort of, I don't need to do it. I can just sort of, the evening before, go through any new patients, just sort of check up on previous notes from patients, pre-existing patients that I'd be seeing again, and then get all that prepared. And then, yeah, on the day it's for four people an hour. So it means I'm charging I'm doing sliding scale now. Originally I was having it much lower, but that's so we can support a much larger organization and reach more people. But yeah, when I started, it was £15 per session. Treatment would always be the same as one-to-ones. I wanted to make sure that was, that you wouldn't be getting anything less, aside from a little bit of time with me, which, that's always lovely. But but yeah, the treatment is the same. The time you're down with the needles is the same. It's just that it's each 15 minutes I see another patient, pop needles in, get them to rest, and then as they are, I'll see two more people. So it's quite fast paced, but yeah, it's almost actually at the end of the month it'll be 3 years that I've been doing the community clinics now. And so I started with just an afternoon in Florence Park Community Centre, and now I'm up to 2 full days there. Got 3 other practitioners in 3. Well, if it wasn't for coronavirus, I would have 3 other practitioners in 3 other locations. And in fact, actually, the plan was that last autumn we would have had 2 more locations, probably Banbury and Bicester, and would be helping 100 people a week. But obviously that hasn't quite transpired yet.
So tell me how coronavirus has affected the business over the last year.
It's been super tricky and super variable. It's really sort of depended on the location and, I mean, the whims of the government. In some ways, it's been quite good. So in the first lockdown, we were classed alongside masseurs, beauty therapists, hairdressers. So we weren't allowed to work at all. And our governing body, the British Acupuncture Council, was sort of reeling to, especially the insurers withdrew our insurance. So we were just sort of forced to stop everything. And so that was for about 3 months where, yeah, we just couldn't help anyone. And I think everyone was sort of, you know, more for it the first time around and being super cautious. And I'd shut down a couple of weeks, the community clinics anyway, a couple of weeks before the government did, just for the safety of my patients. You know, we had no clue back then, but so I think sort of people got through that okay. But obviously, as the time's gone on, we're just seeing more and more degeneration in various patient groups, particularly mental health, and then also those that happen to work from home and just in less than ideal circumstances. There's a lot of aches and pains as well coming through. So yeah, we were able to reopen eventually, obviously with much updated safety protocols and guidance both from government and our regulatory bodies. With the second lockdown, actually quite excitingly, we were then considered as medical health practitioners. I mean, we obviously always thought we were, or liked to think we were. But actually, that's quite a huge gain for the profession. And even now in the third lockdown, we're considered frontline health practitioners. And I think we've just found out that we're going to be fast-tracked for the vaccine as well. So in terms of recognition for the profession, it's really increased. But then, yeah, the difficulty has been with the venues for the community clinics particularly. I moved all my one-to-ones to my house where I can manage the sort of health and hygiene and safety of it all for everyone much more effectively. Yeah, it's varied on location. So Didcot and Abingdon, which are both larger centres and basically have to have staff on to be able to be open, they've sort of had their hires decimated, and I was hoping to carry on. Naturally, Abingdon were quite good. We did reopen there till autumn, and so we've just got Botley, and we did have Florence Park, but they took a committee decision sort of against all of the regulatory guidance that they were going to close down, and that's been quite difficult, both in terms of my patients and for myself as well, because I know that there were quite a few people sort of really suffering essentially as a result of this. I've managed to move across to Dean Court, but it's further away for some people are, it's just quite hard for them to travel. I'm only able to do it a day a week, and so actually, yeah, it's only about half the people I would have been seeing that I'm able to see there now. So yeah, there's, I suppose as we all know, there are just so many gaps that people are falling through, whether it's sort of me and my work or the people that we help in the community. And yeah, mental health and sort of physical well-being are just dropping, and I know that patients have had to go to A&E or sort of take up more NHS resources as well during this time. So it's, I'm finding that quite hard to cope with. But yeah, I suppose on the other side, there have been some positives. I've been trying to make an app for quite a while, and because there's been so much funding out there, and you know, financially, I've been able to get enough support, which has been, you know, been really grateful and lucky for, and it's sort of hopefully will come out stronger. I've managed to get some for doing a sort of videography and full sort of social media blowout when we come back. So hopefully that will get people back into the clinics and really shout about some of the newer ones. And then yeah, we've got this really exciting app which just essentially streamline the process that I created and make it so we can collect and utilize some of the data, obviously anonymized, but the long-term dream has always been to get on the NHS, and essentially we just need to prove the efficacy, and we can't do that without data. So hopefully come springtime, we'll have some pretty exciting new developments on the horizon.
I think that the effect, you know, the knock-on effect of services being reduced is definitely a big concern for so many people. And we don't even know kind of the real fallout of this yet, do we? And I think there is going to be a lot of PTSD and people, and just that when it's over, that feeling of release, I think, is going to, you know, bring up a lot of problems for people. On the flip side, you know, it's good to hear the kind of silver lining stories as well alongside that people have had time to work on their businesses, as you know, if they can't work in their businesses. That's really encouraging to hear and really exciting to hear about the app and just developing that side of the business. So obviously we're now in 2021. Hopefully the end is near. What are your kind of hopes and plans for the next 12 months?
It's a really good and I think tough question at the moment. I suppose I sort of bottomed out on just what is going to be possible. I don't imagine that things are going to get much better till summer. So I think for the next few months, it is just in as many ways as possible, trying to still help the community where we can. So I've applied for funding to give free sessions to teachers and NHS staff, which would be enough for 200 sessions if we do get it. So hopefully we'll be able to help them, because I know, you know, saying some of the sort of PTSD that might be coming through, I think that's where it's going to be felt the most, and they're the ones that really need the support at the moment. I mean, can you imagine what they're going through? I've you know, only got a small inkling, but yeah, so just try and be as useful and supportive as possible. But it depends so much on what government policy and then what community centre policy is. So just hoping that we can remain open as much as possible. Yeah, looking a bit forward, I mean, definitely getting the app up and running, sort of beta tested and then just working. And then I suppose trying to take that more nationally. Again, sort of looking more nationally, I don't think there are many community clinics that operate at the sort of scale and then reduced prices that we do. And it just makes acupuncture so much more accessible to so many more people. So I'll be speaking to different groups to try and get them to take it on as well.
Well, that all sounds really exciting and really looking forward to seeing how that progresses. Thank you so much for speaking to me today.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. And I will see you soon. Thanks, Joe. This podcast forms part of a collaborative project between Independent Oxford and Oxford City Council to support the city's independent businesses.